There we go. So, if you're joining us now, I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. And maybe you're thinking, well, that's not James, and you're exactly right. I just felt led of the Lord to take a different route, to take a different path for this week anyhow. And maybe we'll do that for a few weeks. I'm going to take it week at a time, or a week at a time, and just seek the Lord on how I feel led that particular week. So we may dive into James next week. We may not. I don't know. As a matter of fact, I just personally wrestled with knowing what to share with you this week. I prayed through the week and really didn't feel led to anywhere in particular. And then Friday night, last night, this morning, just continued to feel my heart stirred with one word: rest. Wednesday night I delivered a message that just had to do with peace, that the Lord will keep those in perfect peace whose mind and heart is stayed on Him. And so we talked about the peace from the Lord. And this week, or today rather, I just felt led of the Lord to talk about rest, resting in the Lord. And so what I want to do is read the text, and then I'll give a little word by way of introduction. So go with me to Hebrews 4, and I want you to begin reading with me in verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 4, and look with me in verse number 1. Hebrews 4:1 says, "Therefore, while the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us fear, lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." Now, you're going to notice here there's a comparison being made by the writer in chapter number 4 with the people of God in his day and the people of God in Moses' day. And you'll notice the entire theme of the book of Hebrews has to do with Jesus Christ, our sufficiency, and how Jesus Christ is greater than all of the Old Testament shadows and patterns and people. And so he's making that point known in chapter 3 of Hebrews, telling us how Jesus is greater and that Jesus is our rest, that Jesus is our Sabbath. And then he talks about what we're going to do with Jesus. And he makes a comparison with the children of Israel in how, or in what they did with God in the covenant made with them through Moses in their day, and what we're going to do with Jesus and the covenant made with us through Him in our day. And so now that you have a little bit of context, pick up with me in verse number 3. Verse 3 of Hebrews 4. "For we who have believed enter that rest, as He has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.' Although His works were finished from the foundation of the world, for He has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, 'And God rested on the seventh day from all His works.' And again in this passage He said, 'They shall not enter my rest.' Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again He appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, 'Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I want you to think on this subject. Some much needed rest. Some much needed rest. Let's pray. Father, guide us now. Strengthen us in our time together. Bless the reading of your word. May it stir our hearts toward the rest we find in Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that our time together today, as a people, electronically connected all over this county, I pray that our time today, Father, would glorify and honor you. Father, may we be a people who choose to rest in Jesus. And Father, I pray for the strength to preach in such a way that you would be glorified and you would be honored in all things. I ask this in Jesus' strong name. Amen. You know, we all have one of these. And some of you are tuning in even now as you watch via your cell phone. But I just want to draw your attention. I know many of you have been watching news outlets, and rightfully so, you should right now. There seems to be more developments every day about something new that's happening, something else that's happening, something that's going on. Stay tuned to those news outlets. They're going to help you. But as you watch this, I'm just going to scroll through, all right? This is Apple News. Just going to scroll through a little bit. Let's just listen to the names of the stories, okay? First of all, confirmed global coronavirus infection cases double in a week to pass 310,000, all right? The Washington Post, Italy's coronavirus death toll feeds fear of what lies ahead in Europe and the U.S. Here's another one from CNN. How one woman fought to get her husband tested while her state was applauded for having no cases. Here's another one from another news outlet. Hawaii to quarantine all newly arrived travelers for 14 days to curb virus spread. And then here's another one that really encourages you. Why the coronavirus has been so successful. Then you go to Yahoo News. Let me just read you the headlines, okay? Coronavirus pandemic could jeopardize NBA salaries. Here's another one. A top New York surgeon warns that coronavirus has breached hospital walls and infections could peak in 22 to 32 days. Here's another one. I hope I'm pronouncing this name right. Fauci predicts Americans will likely need to stay home for at least several more weeks. There's another one about the stock market really crashing. L.A. County coronavirus update. Two deaths confirmed. An LAPD officer coughing and sweating on the job test positive. Dozens test positive for coronavirus after attending a wedding in NBC News. And then just to really encourage you today from Reuters, China scrambles to curb rise in imported coronavirus cases. Where does it end? We have no idea. Now that's in just two news outlets. That's about six, seven stories from each news outlet that can really be discouraging. Now, here's what we're facing. Am I going to let my mind run amok, let my mind run on this endless cycle of unending quote-unquote news? Or am I going to seek the Lord during this thing? Am I going to rest in Him or not? That's the question. Now, I'll go ahead and concede the context for Hebrews 3 and 4 especially, and specifically the context for Hebrews 4 has to do with salvation that comes from the Lord. And I know that the rest spoken of here in Hebrews 4 has to do with the rest that comes when we find Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. The rest that comes as we cease from laboring to try to work and earn our way into God's good graces. I know that's the context. But while we're in the midst of this pandemic and while we're dealing with coronavirus, COVID-19 every day of our lives, we've got a question to ask ourselves. First of all, am I going to rest in the salvation that I find in Jesus? Or am I going to allow story upon story upon story from outlet upon outlet upon outlet to constantly take over my mind and bury me in a sea of anxiety so that I can no longer rest in the promises of God? Here's something we need to think about. Are we the first generation in human history to ever deal with the pandemic? And are we the first generation in human history to ever deal with something that's affected the worldwide landscape? No. Now, again, like I said Wednesday night, I don't say any of that to downplay this. It's serious. We need to pay attention to it. A lot of people are hurting. A lot of people are sick. A lot of people have died. A lot of people have passed away. And if God does not quickly eradicate this, if He does not see fit to remove this in a moment, there may be some more that we'll grieve the loss of. And I pray to God that doesn't happen. But the reality of it is, yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's hard. No, we're not the first to ever suffer. And no, this is not the first time in world history where we've had some kind of worldwide crisis. But this is maybe the first time in our generation where we'll have to answer the question, will I teetotally trust the Lord for this or not? And so, for those who know Jesus today, it's time for some much needed rest. Because my job puts me in close proximity and in phone calls and things of that nature, there's a lot of fear. And there's a lot of fear not just among those who don't know the Lord Jesus. There's a lot of fear among those who claim faith in Jesus. Now, again, rightfully so, there's no reason that you shouldn't be fearful right now. But I've got to make sure I submit and surrender my fear to the Lord, because, again, here's how fear works. Fear is an emotion that God gave us, and it can be used for good, but it can also be used and run amok in our minds and bury us, again, in such a way where we forget the promises of God. So there's three things I want you to see from the text today. The first one comes from verses 1 through 5. The second one we'll find in verses 6 through 10. And then the last one will come from verses 11 through 16. And so, look at the first of those. First of all, the text calls us to observe a greater fear. There's something that we should be a little bit more fearful about, even than coronavirus. If you would, look back at your Bible, Hebrews chapter 4, look in verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, while the promises of entering His rest still stand, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Now, what's he talking about? Well, here's the thing. God's people in the Old Testament, back in the days of Exodus, God grew weary of them because they would not trust Him. No matter what God did among them and what God did around them, they would not simply trust the Lord. And they had strong evidence. They had sound, empirical evidence, tangible evidence in front of them that told them God knows where you are, God cares for you, and God's going to help you. So let's just go back and take inventory real quick. Look at some of these things. What did the children of Israel who left Egypt, what will they see, what had they seen up to the point where God said, you know what, I've had enough of you. This generation will die in the wilderness, and I will take your children and your children's children, and I'll move them into the land of Canaan. But this generation, I'm done with you. You don't trust me. You don't believe me. I'm backing away. What broke God to that point? Well, it's because they had seen God move, and it never affected how they thought. Listen, they had seen God move, but it never affected how they thought, their minds. What had they seen God do? Well, let's just take inventory. Here it is. First of all, they had seen God send 10 different plagues on the land of Egypt, on the nation of Egypt. And the whole time they're watching these plagues unfold, they see the people of Egypt suffering, and they see God protecting them from the same plagues. And yet, they still struggled to trust God in the wilderness. What's another one? Secondly, they saw the Red Sea split. They saw an entire body of water, a giant sea, spread apart, stand in heat like a congealed jello. The Bible uses the word congealed. They walked through the dry path and the dry ground. They walked through most of the day, the evening, through the night, come to the other side, while God in a pillar of cloud protects them from their back. They walk through on dry ground, and then when they get through the other side and everybody's safe, God allows the cloud to lift, Pharaoh's army to pursue them into the sea, and they see the Red Sea collapse back on top of their enemies. And yet they still wouldn't trust God. What's the third thing? They saw waters that were bitter that no one could drink, they saw these waters changed and sweetened by the touch of God. They were in the wilderness and they began to groan and complain. They didn't have anything to eat. And so God gave them manna. He sent down manna from heaven. Every morning when they woke up, there was enough bread for them to eat, and they had all that they provided. They got tired of the manna and began to ask God for meat. And God sent them quail upon quail upon quail. And they had so much quail, the Bible says they ate till it ran out their nostrils. And yet they still had a hard time believing God. They had a pillar of cloud that led them by day. They had a pillar of fire that led them by night. They had the very commands of God given to them to know the heart and the expectations of God. And yet they still chose not to believe the Lord. Now, what's that got to do with you and me? Because you and me could say something like this. Well, you know what? If God would just miraculously, with His mighty hand, just eradicate coronavirus from the world right now, I think I would believe Him. Or if God would just come in His mighty hand and heal everybody who's sick and raise the dead, I think I might believe Him. Well, you know what? If that's where you're at today, there was a group in the New Testament who said something similar to Jesus. Jesus had already done mighty works. Jesus had done great things. Jesus had healed many. Jesus had already raised the dead. Jesus had preached on behalf of God and shared the heart of God with many. And the Pharisees had enough gumption to come to Him and say, "Just give us a sign." And Jesus talks about the witnesses of Him. He said, "John the Baptist came. You didn't believe him. My works are before you. You still don't believe me. My Father speaks of me and you don't believe me. And Moses, the one you adhere to, the one you say you live by, Moses spoke of me, and you don't believe him either. And so you're not going to believe me if I give you another sign." You see today, folks, listen. Trusting Jesus all starts in your heart, in your soul. Are you going to believe him or not? And if you've chosen not to believe him, you're inconsolable. You ever met somebody who tells you about their problems and tells you about their struggles, and you really feel like you're trying to hear them out, and you feel as if you're giving them sound biblical insight and guidance, but it's never good enough? If they got financial problems, you give them instruction and wisdom from the Word of God. That's not what they wanted to hear. They have health problems, you give them hope that God's with them and walk with them and could heal them. That's never enough. They have marital problems, you tell them what the Bible says. That's never enough. I mean, they just have an inconsolable burden. And if you're not careful in all of this fear and worry and anxiety, I'm not saying not be worried, and I'm not saying to not be responsible and take care of yourself and your family, but I am saying this. Be careful you don't have inconsolable anxiety. Be careful that you don't have inconsolable worry. Because if you've gotten so tizzied that this can no longer calm you, or you don't even think to go to it, this will overwhelm you. The next story from Fox, the next post from CNN, the next word from WLOS, the next news from Apple News, it might just be enough to bury you. We've got to be careful. And so listen, while we're fearing what could happen with coronavirus, make sure that the fear of the Lord is superseding and leading your thoughts first. Fear Him. Seek Him. Trust Him. One of the reasons why the children of Israel could not find the land of rest is because they refused to see the hand of God. Listen, one of the reasons why the children of Israel could not find the land of rest was because they refused to see the hand of God. Right now in this struggle, it'll be really hard for you to find a place of rest if you refuse to see the hand of God. Number one, there was a greater fear that the Bible's calling us to. Look in verse 2. You have your Bibles open. I've shared my heart a little bit this morning, but look in verse 2 of Hebrews 4. The Bible says, Hebrews 4:2, "For good news came to us just as to them, But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Did you see that in the line? They were not united. They were not together in their faith. You see, God had spoke truth, and that truth was going to stand. But they would never know the fullness of the promise of that truth because the promise and the truth never were united in faith. And the only way you unlock the promises of God and the truths of God is when you unite those promises and truths to your faith. So we've got to make sure that our hearts, our minds, our conscience, our soul, our being is uniting with the promises of God by faith. And certainly we have sure and steadfast promises from the Word of God. You'll notice that the children of Israel had disregarded the good news that was sent to them. We've got to be careful not to disregard the good news of Jesus Christ that's been sent to us. There's a greater fear we've been called to, a fear greater than the worry of coronavirus. The greater fear we've been called to is the fear of the Lord. Trust Him first. Seek Him first. He's going to help us. Number two, there's not only a greater fear we've been called to, but look at the second observance from the text. There's an urgent call. Look, if you would, in verses 6 through 10. Verse 6 says, "Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, it being rest, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of," listen, there it is, "disobedience. Again, He appoints a certain day," and He says, "today." Now, the writer here is quoting David in the Psalms in Psalm 95. That's why he refers to David in verse 7. He says, "today," saying through David, the psalmist in 95, "so long afterward," in the words already quoted, here it is again, "today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then," here it is, verse 9, "so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from His." So when do we need this rest? Well, we need it today. And so what was happening among the children? Let's go back to the comparison in the text. What was happening to the children of Israel? Well, God was working all around them. He was feeding them. He was clothing them. He was providing for them. He was caring for them. All of the elements of the wilderness that they were so terrified of was not touching them, but they couldn't see it. They couldn't see God leading them. They couldn't see God providing them. They couldn't see the land of rest because all they wanted to do was look horizontally at the barren wasteland they were in. They were content to walk 40 years in the wilderness instead of seeing the hand of God in the day they were living in. Man, does that not sound like today? If you're not careful, you can look horizontally, and it is bad. It's sad. It's heartbreaking to read some of these stories we're hearing. It's difficult to hear how our local government and our local authorities are having to deal with this thing. It's heartbreaking to hear some of these stories out of the school system where some of our children are having a hard time finding food right now. That's very difficult to see and to hear horizontally. But here's what you can always see in the Word of the living God. God has always blessed His people so that they might be a blessing. And if you're not careful, child of God, you'll start looking at all this horizontal mess going on around you, and you'll forget God has blessed you to be a blessing and help those who are hurting right now. Let's get our eyes off the virus, get our eyes off of our fear, get our eyes off our anxiety, and by God's grace, unite our hearts to the united truths of the living God and watch God use us to be a blessing for His namesake. He's always wanted to do that. He wanted to do it in His nation. He wanted to do it in Israel. He wanted to do it among those who trusted Christ. And He wants to do it today. There's never, never been a pandemic worldwide where God didn't want to take His church and elevate them and use them for His glory so that people might know there's a God in heaven. We can be those people. This is our hour. This is our chance if we'll learn how to rest in Jesus. There's an urgent call. It's not tomorrow. You can't do anything about yesterday. Today. It's today. What can you do today? Someone say, "Well, golly, preacher, I'm stuck in my house. Ain't a whole lot I can do." I know you can seek the God of heaven. I know the people of God can pray like they've never prayed before. I know you can go to the Scriptures. I know you can still go to the Word of God. I know you can still call somebody and give somebody a word of encouragement instead of the first thing you say is, hey, have you heard about the coronavirus? What if we dialed somebody and said this today? Hey, have you heard Jesus is still on the throne? You know, you could pick up your phone and say, hey, you know how many more Italy lost last night? You could pick up your phone and say, you know how many heaven gained in the blood of Jesus? You could take your phone and say, hey, you know how bad it's getting in the world? You could take your phone and say, you know how good my God is. It all has to do with perspective and as to whether or not you're resting in the living Son of God. Man, there's hope for us. We might be quarantined, but thank God the connection's still on. And most importantly, the connection is still there. And by God's grace, we have an opportunity to give while we're all separated. Let's not be fearful. Let's trust. My family and I, we're giving our tithe to the Lord back there electronically today. Why don't you join my family? Because here's what I believe. There's some more souls who are hurting. I had my hair cut this past week from a dear soul who's wondering. She almost began to cry. I have no idea how I'm going to make my rent payment this week. You know what I did? I said, young lady, what's your full name? What's your address? By God's grace, I'm going to send you something on behalf of the church. I don't know that we can do it all, but by God's grace, we can do something. There's people out there hurting, and if we'll get our eyes off of the horizontal and look to Him who is on the throne vertically, we can find hope and rest, and then God can take our rest and give it to those who are laboring in the fear and anxiety of a world that's seemingly going crazy. There's confidence we have in Jesus. But it all boils down to the last point. The first thing we looked at in the text was a greater fear we need to have of the Lord. The second thing we need to see from the text is there is an urgent call for today. And then finally, there's a better work. There's a better use of your time right now. Some of you have been laid off. You've been put out of work. We've been trying to get out phone calls to you this week to tell you, please call us. Let us know if you're in a bind. Let us know if you're hurting. I don't know. You know, me saying this might make some of the church nervous about trying to help so many people. I don't know, but I know this much. I know there was a widow in Zarephath. When the man of God came by, she said, I only have enough to feed myself and my boy. And then we're going to eat this cake and just sit here and die. And the man of God, Elijah, said, no, no. You fix me something. You fix yourself something. You prepare a little bit for your boy. And watch what God does. And it never ran out. Church, it never ran out. Now, I don't know what this thing's going to look like. It might last a week. And we may not meet again for the next 4 months. What you going to do? What you going to do for the next 4 months? You going to sit on the little bit you got? And you going to sit there terrified and scared to death? Or are you just going to keep letting God fill it? I don't know how He's going to do it. I'm not God. I'm just a representative. I'm not the Lord. I'm just the one calling you to trust Him. And I'm telling you trust God as you love on others for His name's sake. And I promise you, every time you reach your hand into that basket to pull out a little bit more flour, it'll be there if you'll just keep trusting the Lord. Rest in Him. Which brings us to the point in verse 9. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Have you noticed in your Bible there that word Sabbath is capitalized? In a sense, it's being used as a pronoun. It's talking about a person. There remains a Sabbath, a person who gives rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Some have asked, well, why in the world do we not keep a Sabbath anymore? You know, they met in the Old Testament and they met on Saturday. Why don't we do that anymore? Well, we keep a Sabbath and we meet on the Lord's Day because our Sabbath came out of the grave. Our Sabbath came out of the tomb. So why do we meet on Sundays? Because it's the Lord's Day. And we recognize that as our Sabbath because our capital S, our pronoun, the Sabbath came out of the tomb and came out of the grave so that we might have eternal rest in Him. There's a greater work. Now, you know the Bible tells you something? It's kind of odd. you got to work to find rest. Listen to it in verse 11. The Bible says, let us therefore strive, labor to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. The Bible's not talking about you got to work your way into salvation. That's not what it's referring to here, because you can't work your way into salvation. No one is saved by what he's done unless he could boast about it. The Lord saves. It's by grace through faith that the Lord saves. So what is he talking about? Laboring so that we might rest. Well, I would submit to you, it's a labor of the mind. It's a labor of the heart. You know, I can't control, and many of the anxieties you have, I've had too. I can't control when my mind wants to conjure up ideas of what are we going to do if we run out of food. I can't help it when my mind conjures up ideas of what are we going to do if there's not enough giving to support the staff and pay the bills. It's there in my mind. I can't put out of my head, it's just going to pop up. What are we going to do? Oh, Lord, if we run out of toilet paper, what are we going to do? My mind thinks that way. Your mind thinks that way. We all struggle with these worries and these anxieties. They just come natural. Nobody has to make you think that way. So there's something I have to make myself do. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, I've got to make myself. I've got to go back to the Lord and strive and work and labor so that I take my mind and surrender it to Jesus and strive to rest. When the worry comes, I'm going to take it back to the Lord. The anxiety comes, I'm going to take it back to the Lord. Or, in context of the text, when I try to begin to do things to save myself. See, the children of Israel wanted to abandon the journey. You know, really, it should have only taken them 11 days to walk by foot from Egypt across the Sinai Peninsula to the land of Canaan. Should have taken them about 11 to 14 days. And yet they wandered 40 years. You see, what happens is when you try to abandon the journey that God's got you on and you try to abandon the path He has for you, you just wander. And all your efforts to try to save yourself and all your efforts to try to work your way to what you think's best, you start wondering. But if you get on God's path, the distance will always be shorter and the way will always be easier if you just trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. So that's what I've got to strive to do. Now, there was an illustration that came to my mind. You ever notice people who like to go camping? Now, I'm not talking about get a tent and go hike somewhere. I'm talking about the campers. You know, like they've got as much money in their motorhome as they do their house or more. And I'm not picking on you. If you got that, go enjoy that in good measure. But you ever notice these people? They put all this money in diesel in this big old truck, and then they kill themselves getting this camper set up. You take everything that was in your perfectly good home and go put it in this mobile home. And then you take all your clothes and you got to pack all that up. You're wore out before you ever get in the truck. And then you put the thing in reverse and you back out of your drive and you pull this camper these long distances and everybody's having a great time, right? Because you and mom and dad's in the front seat of the truck and you're screaming at the kids, be quiet, we're on vacation, we're having a good time. And everybody's fighting all the way there. And then you finally get there and the kids have asked you 92 million times, are we there yet? And you've answered it 42 million times. And so you're on your way. And then when you finally get there, you go pay somebody to park your mobile home. And then you have to pay a little bit for water, a little extra here and there. And then you hook up, you get connected, and then the work starts, right? We set all this stuff out. We got all these chairs out. We put all this. Why do you do all of that labor to go find a little bit of that rest? Well, again, I'm not, if you got a camper, thank God. Invite me one day, I'll go with you. I'm not preaching against going camping. But you know why we go through all of that hustle and bustle and inconvenience and labor? Why we go through all that stuff to go pull that camper somewhere? Because all of that labor promises some much needed rest. If I were to tell you, you and I were going to go on a 2-week journey across the country, go ahead and make preparations. Now, obviously, we can't go anywhere right now, but when this thing's finally lifted, we might take a road trip. And when you're packing all that stuff to go on that trip, it's going to be a lot of work. A lot of work. Make sure you got enough food. Make sure you got enough clothing. Make sure you got enough whatever you need when you go camping. A lot of work in that. But why do you do it? Because the journey promises some eventual relaxation and rest. Right here in verse 11. Right here in verse 11. You're going to have to put a little bit of labor in finding some rest in Jesus. Just like you'd go off and pack your camper to go have a much needed vacation, you're going to have to labor to fill your heart with the truth that's right here so you can find some rest. And I promise you, if you'll do that, you will enjoy the destination. I promise. Now, as we get ready to close today, maybe some of you may be saying, well, you know what? I'm good. I am. I'm not worried too much. I'm just fine. I'm going to be all right. And you're one of the ones that stocked your home with 1,000 rolls of toilet paper and 92 gallon of hand sanitizer. Look, if you would, in verses 11, 12, and 13. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Look in verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Look in verse 13. No creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. You know, we read Hebrews 4, 12, and 13 many times out of context, but let's put it in its right context. Let's put it in the context of rest. The Word of God will reveal to you as to whether you're resting in Jesus or not. So much so that in verse 13, the Word of God will dress you down and lay you naked and bare before God and reveal who you really are. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I get in this book and I don't like the image I see in myself, because this book reveals in me when I'm not resting in the Lord. This book reveals in me when I've started walking my own path, wandering in the wilderness of life. But let me tell you what else this book does. This book also teaches me how to get back on the path. This book also teaches me how to walk in the correct way God would have me walk that leads to rest, the promised places of God. And so listen, there's a better work. Now, I'm not telling you not to prepare, and I'm not telling you not to provide for your family. I'm not telling you not to stock up. You do what you need to do before God in your conscience. You follow God. But I tell you this, if you've stocked your freezer, filled your pantry, stocked the paper closet, and you haven't stocked your heart, you need some rest. You need some rest. Some much needed rest. And today's scripture teaches us how to do that. Now, what am I supposed to do with this message? Well, I'll go ahead and confess this message has largely in part been delivered to believers. But first of all, if you're an unbeliever today and you're hearing this, your greatest need is Jesus. Your greatest need is Jesus. He loved you so much, He died for you on the cross. And 3 days after His death, He rose again. He conquers our greatest fears. I promise, listen to me, if He can conquer death, hell, and the grave, coronavirus is not going to keep Him from loving you. If He conquered death, hell, and the grave, coronavirus cannot separate you from Him. He loves you. He died for you and He rose again. And if you would repent of your sin and turn from your sin and walk with Jesus, quit trying to labor and strive, finding your own security and rest, and walk in the rest promised to you through Jesus, everything will change. While nothing changes around you, everything can change inside you if you trust the Lord. Just come to Him. Trust Him. Confess your sin. Repent of your sin. And call to Jesus. What do I need to say to Him? Well, first of all, the Bible says we need to confess for sinners, that we've all fallen short of God's perfect standard for our life. And as we confess that to the Lord, we also confess with our mouth to God, Father, I believe that You sent Your Son to the earth to die for me on the cross. And His death on the cross forgives me of my sin. He paid the debt, the punishment of my sin, so that I could be forgiven. You need to believe that and confess that to the Lord. And then you also need to confess to the Lord, I believe, Father, that You raised Him from the dead. And He is the living Son of God and my Savior. And then simply ask Him, Lord, would You save me today? Forgive me of my sin. Give me a new life on earth and eternal life in heaven. You can find rest in Jesus. There was a whole generation of people in the Old Testament who refused to see the hand of God. And because of that, they never got to see the land of promise. If you refuse to see the Son of God, you'll never see the land of promise. Trust Him. Trust Him. He's the only way. And right now, trust Him. He'll give you rest in your heart. Listen to this closing passage. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, right now, let's hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. You might be tempted to say, well, when's Jesus ever dealt with coronavirus? I'll tell you, He dealt with a bigger sickness. He took on your sin and mine. Sin had infested the world. Not everybody's going to catch this. Not everybody will be destroyed with this virus. But there's a sickness greater than COVID-19. It's called sin. It's infected the world. And Jesus on the cross took that infection on Himself so that we might become who He is by faith in Him. So He knows what it feels like. He knows what it feels like to bear the sickness of the world. And listen to this in verse 16. It's an invitation to you today. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help when? In time of need. Can you ever think of a time of need greater than this generation than right now? We need hope, don't we? We need peace, don't we? We need rest. You can find it in Jesus. What am I supposed to do with this message? If you don't know Jesus, find rest in Him. Then if you do know Jesus today, listen to me, child of God. Before you utter one negative word, why don't you begin trying to pass on the truths of God? Before you pick up this phone and tell one more brother and sister in the Lord about how awful it is, why don't you just intentionally call someone today and tell them how good God is. Refuse to be panicked. I know it's scary. I ain't never been here either. So what am I going to do? Ball up in the corner and quit? Rest in the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord. It's all I know to do. And it's all I want to do. So let's not be panicked. Let's trust the Lord. Thirdly, we'll fear the Lord as God's people and keep confident in His good plan. We're going to fear the Lord more than we fear anything else. We're going to fear the Lord. And we're going to stay confident in Him. Next, we're going to go confidently to the throne of grace and ask for His help in time of need. I want you to intentionally call one another and pray for one another. There's people you know that need a phone call of hope. Call them. Pray with them. Love on them. And intentionally commit. I ain't going to share not one word about this mess. I'm going to tell them how good God is. You do that this week. Tell them it makes a difference. Give your worries to the Lord. And by God's grace, may we so rest in the Lord that we trust Him to use us to comfort others. I pray this is our finest hour. This is one of the hardest things our nation has dealt with in our generation. So I pray it's one of the finest hours of the local church. Find rest. Find rest. And as you find rest, I'm praying God use you to spread rest and peace to others. If you're here today, we're going to be checking our voicemail at the church. Our number is 828-692-0170. 828-692-0170. We'll be checking our messages. If you want to talk more about what it means to be a Christian, would you just leave us a message in your number? Just say, hey, I listen Sunday, and I want to know more about coming to Jesus. We'll check that message. I'll call you back personally. If you're here today and you just need some hope and encouragement, you can message us on Messenger. Right now on our Ebenezer page, you can message us on Messenger. And we'll get back in touch with you. Tell us a little bit about what's going on. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. If you're in a bind, I don't know. We can't meet every need, but we're going to meet some needs. And if you're in a bind, will you let us know? We'll love on you and try to show you the love of Jesus. But I promise you this much, this preacher right here is not going to find the first corner and lay down on the Lord. Job said, though the skin worms eat my flesh, yet with my eyes I will see God because I know my Redeemer lives. Though the coronavirus take this state, county, and nation over, with my eyes I will see the Lord Jesus because I know my Redeemer lives. And that's all I need to rest with. And that's all you need to rest with. So, child of God, I say this with grace. Act like one. Now go get you some rest. And when you wake up, go show some love. Give faithfully. And let's make a difference. God wants to use us right now. Don't jump into the paranoia. Don't jump into the hysteria. Jump into the rest of Jesus. He wants to use His church. And we need some much needed rest. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. Thank You for the challenge You've given my heart, the challenge from the Word of God. I pray to be a child of God, resting in the peace of God, so that others needing to come to God might find the hope of God. Grant it for Your glory, and may we so rest in You that others wouldn't find rest in Jesus as well. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to one another. And help us, Lord, to find the promises of God and unite them to our faithful, believing hearts so that we might rest in Jesus right now. An ever-present help in time of trouble that we can always, always approach the throne of grace boldly through His shed blood and say, Abba, Father, I need You again. In this time of need. Love You, Lord. Thank You for encouraging us today. We look to You now and rest in Your hope and ask all this in Jesus' strong name. Amen. God bless you. I'll probably post a video maybe tomorrow or Tuesday to let you know about some special efforts that are being made right here among just a handful to care for some other families. God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful week. Now, go get you some much needed rest. See you tomorrow, Tuesday. God bless.